Chapter 47. I can't breathe. The trailer is too hot. I blink to find myself sitting on the bed. Jamie presses something damp and cool against my forehead. I need to know what it is, as if this one fact will provide comfort. The handkerchief from his suit jacket pocket. You're okay, Donis. They're gone. I'm here with you. You're safe. His voice is soothing, but I get stuck on his last word. Safe. My dad can be extremely persistent when he wants something. But you know all about that, don't you? Jamie saw my frantic kicks and air punches last night. He tried alerting Ron that something was wrong. I wait for him to repeat his question from the overlook. What happened to you? He doesn't. I think Jamie is starting to figure it out. I watch for a recriminating glance, a tisk-tisk, a lecture. It doesn't come. A trickle of sweat runs the length of my back. It's a sauna inside the trailer. Jamie gives me a sports drink and pats my forehead again. I take a few sips before offering it to him. He peels the wrapper of a protein bar like a banana before handing it to me. My stomach growls as I devour it. Chain smoker style, he unpeels another bar while I chew my last bite of the first one. Let's have you turn off the tracker on the watch to save the battery, okay? He motions toward my ankle. It's the knob on the side. You push it in to power down the tracker, so it's just an ordinary watch. I reach down and push the knob in. We know the guys will return for you. They need you wherever their lab is set up. We have to hope that it's off the island or at least somewhere a signal could be detected. As soon as you're away from these rocks, pull the knob out and turn the tracker back on, okay? I look at this person, backlit by a lantern and dancing orange lights, kneeling in front of me. What do I actually know about him? He is 22. He has strands of copper hidden in his curly brown hair. His deepest laughter tugs at the bottom of his scar. He was a pairs figure skater before he switched to hockey. He pinches the bridge of his nose when frustrated. He doesn't know his tribe or clan. His fingertips are as soft as a whisper against my skin. He takes the black olives off his pizza. He kisses with confidence, no holding back. His eyes look ordinary from a distance, but up close, they are glorious. He was abandoned before. He always drives the speed limit. He speaks French and Spanish. He thought he was going to die when they cut his face. He prayed to Creator when he felt for Lily's pulse at her carotid artery, prayed to find it. He wants to belong to something bigger than himself. He is stronger than he appears. He loves me. And finally, when he agreed to this undercover assignment, he never envisioned any of this happening. Unable to keep my eyelids open, I lie down on the mattress with my back pressed against the wall. The cool metal against my shirt keeps me from dripping with sweat like Jamie. My hands shake with the tiniest of tremors, a side effect of the Rohypnol, their plan, or both. I drift off to the sound of gentle waves stroking the shore somewhere on Sugar Island. Orange lights move against the walls. Only it's not a trailer anymore. It's a rib cage illuminated with orange stripes. I'm not just inside the tiger. I am the tiger. I crouch low, unseen, watching three boys. My eyes never leave them until a beautiful black jaguar, Panthera onca, glides past. He's not supposed to be this far north. It's not his territory. He doesn't see the threat until they circle him. An owl hoots in the distance. Something slithers nearby. I remain hidden. No one ever needs to know I am here. They transform. Three boys become a creature with Levi's face, spiky blonde hair, a concave chest, and six muscular arms, which extend like rubber. Jamie, in a black suit, stands where the panther was. The creature's punches are like machine gun fire. Jamie's white shirt rips to reveal abdominal muscles already forming purple bruises. The only sounds are the cracking of his ribs as he tries to catch his breath. Ron shouts from a distance, "I can't find him, Donis." I leap from my safe spot, already tasting the creature's warm blood in my throat, but I'm jerked back and hit the ground with an oof. My ankle is tethered to an old bed. The creature transforms into three guys I no longer recognize. I roar at each one. The first won't meet my eyes. The second fades as if he was never there. The third smiles, revealing teeth that are much sharper than mine. Jamie falls to the ground face first, rolling over to frantically swing and kick at the air. I listen for breath sounds, but there aren't any. His movements slow until his arms and legs go still. I cannot reach him. Jamie will die believing I abandoned him. Hot breath on my neck turns me into a frozen statue of a tiger, petrified as a snake slithers up my leg. I wake up, heart racing, with my forehead and palms pressed against the cool wall. I'm scared. I want my mom. I gotta get out of here. I turned over in the night, but Jamie didn't. His arm found my waist, and his face is buried in my hair. Each time he exhales, his breath seeps through the tangled mess to tickle my neck. I know Jamie's breath is not Grant's, but rational fears are still terrifying. As I climb over Jamie, my full bladder shifts uncomfortably. It's not my first time using a piss pot. Super rustic cabins and hunting camps in the UP don't have running water. A bucket outside the front door means no trip to a spider-filled outhouse in the middle of the night. After finishing, I sit on the floor at the center of the closest masking tape line, staring at the wood stove. I wrap my arms around my knees, pulled up to my chest. The only sounds are the gentle waves beyond the trailer and the sizzling pop of one sizable log in the stove. Wood isn't solid. It's made of cellulose, which transforms during combustion into a gas. The gas builds up until it breaks through the cell wall at its most vulnerable spot. That's all the popping is, pressure finding a weakness. I try to shake off the bad dream by organizing my thoughts. What I know. 1. The guys, Grant and Angie Flint, are responsible for the meth. 2. Dana drugged me and had me brought here. 3. They're using Jamie as incentive for me to cook meth for them. 4. There is no way they will let Jamie go. 5. Levi is the weakest link. What I don't know. 1. What is Mom doing right now? 2. Did Levi have anything to do with Uncle David's death? 3. What is the extent of Dana's involvement? 4. How were Heather and Robin mixed up in this? Were their deaths accidental or intentional? 5. What does Mike have planned for Jamie? 6. How far would Stormy's inner goon go without any limits? 7. How do I stop loving the brother I don't recognize anymore? I sit until the trailer lightens with Zagasekwe's song, Beginning a New Day. Rising, I stretch my stiff limbs. My tailbone is sore. The tiredness behind my eyes feels permanent. At the window, I use my sleeve to rub away soot to stare at a wall of darkness just beyond. Metamorphosed igneous peridotite. We are in a trailer hidden in black rock. East side, Jamie says from the bed. Not a question at all. He gets up to pee in the bucket before returning to bed. Bone weary already, and the day is only minutes old. I heard waves and pops in my trance bubble, but no snoring. Jamie was awake the entire time as well. Jamie's in the spot I had last night, his back against the wall. He pats the bed in front of him for me to join him. Let's sleep for a bit. They won't be back for a while, and we're too exhausted to think straight. We can come up with a strategy when we're less fuzzy, he says. I lie on my back next to Jamie and stare at the curved aluminum ceiling. It's comfortable in the trailer, not too hot or too cold. It will cool off steadily, though, as the fire dies down through the day. At some point, Jamie will try to cuddle for warmth. You need to face the wall, I say. His eyebrow rises, but he rolls over. The trailer lightens with the only sun that's likely to reach us. I say a silent prayer to Creator for Zungadewin. Today is a day for courage. Would it be okay for me to put my arm around you? I ask. Of course, he says. I turn toward Jamie and drape my arm over him. I like the feel of his body next to me this way. It calms me to know I'm not alone. I take a deep breath. You can't put your arm around me like this because... Jamie tenses. I pause, then continue slowly. Because Grant Edwards held me down from behind when he attacked me last night in his hotel room. I went with him because he said he had a security video of me snooping around his home office from that Sunday night we were at their house. Jamie doesn't say anything for what feels like an hour. You're gonna leave here today, he says finally. The tracker will lead Ron to you. Tell him everything. He's a good agent. The FBI will take it from there. They'll get Grant Edwards, and you can put this behind you, Donis. You're gonna be okay. I don't know whether I believe him or just want to so badly, but I finally relax. He rests his hand on top of mine in front of him. His thumb strokes the soft pad between my thumb and index finger with the same rhythm as the waves from Lake George. We wake up at the same time, as the voices approach the trailer. Both of us scramble to stand next to the bed. We each reach for the other's hand at the same time. I'm lightheaded from standing too rapidly and my heartbeat racing in fear. I'll agree to whatever they say, I whisper. I'll tell Ron everything as soon as he finds me. We will come back for you. Jamie gulps the air as if he's about to dive into the deepest pool. I love you, he says quickly. No matter what happens, Donis, I love you. If everything goes bad, save yourself and get away from here. My lips are at his ear now. Trust me, Levi is the weakest link. Someone fumbles with the lock. I don't know why the truth matters now, only that it does. I love you, Oji Shingwei.